host, Richard Howie.
Welcome to the second series of That Was Then, This Is Now, or as all the cool kids are calling it, Twitutin.
Twitutin!
I love it. It's the show that looks at what happened this week in history and satirises it from the safe distance of the present day. We're literally mocking the dead over the unbridgeable chasm of time. Benito Mussolini, thought you were pretty hard, didn't you? But you're a big, puffed-up, barrel-chested baldy who everyone thought was ridiculous. What are you going to do about it? Nothing, deado. Michelangelo, pretty sure you are something special, huh? But most people nowadays just know you as a teenage mutant ninja turtle. Not even the most famous one. Leonardo got that covered. He had a code. Should have thought of that. Too late, skeleton face. Stupid people of the 13th century. Didn't you even have dental floss? We do. We've got loads of it, and we hardly ever use it. How does that make you feel? All that dental floss sitting untouched and unwanted in bathroom cupboards. You've got none. Pretty bad, I expect. Ha! You historical nincompoops. We're miles better than you. That, in essence, is the point of this show. It's half an hour of mean-spirited barracking of people who can't defend themselves without even the self-awareness to realise that one day we too will be dead and in the past, and the people of the future will listen back to this show and laugh at us. Nice to know someone will. But don't worry, the few Jonathan Ross listeners who haven't already turned off. It's not just me on this show talking about dental floss. I know that was weird. Oh, no, we've got a cool history rock and roll band. Please welcome Christian Riley and the Borgias.
That was then, this is now. The dead will have their vengeance on us in hell.
Damn, I hadn't thought of that. I take it back, Mussolini. I think you were good.
Richard Herring, he's the comedian who thinks the fascist dictator Mussolini was good.
No, you're taking that out of context. To make me look bad, I didn't, you know, some of what he did was good. Anyway, Christ, it's great to have you back on the show.
Well, it's nice to be here, but I don't understand, Rich. I thought at the end of last series, you and the rest of the cast were burned to death in an ill-advised indoors bonfire night celebration.
Yeah, well, we escaped.
How?
There's quite a story behind that, I can tell you.
I'd be interested to hear that story.
Well, there just isn't time.
Just the highlights would be fine.
For goodness sake, Christian, it happened 2 years ago. It's in the past. Get with it, Daddy-O, you're living in the past. Who cares about what happened in the past?
Isn't that kind of the whole point of the show?
I used to like you.
It's not because after several run-ins with the Radio 2 censor, you had assumed that there'd be no second series, and so you thought you'd go out in a blaze of glory, destroying everything in a two-fingered gesture of defiance, and now you're forced to furiously backpedal as you discover they wanted your return after all.
No. We got out of a window.
That was then, this is now. Back on your radio after a 2-year hiatus. And frankly, nobody is more surprised than us.
So look at some of the things that happened this week in history. August the 29th, 2005, you may remember, Hurricane Katrina reaches the US coast, causing death and destruction in and around an ill-prepared New Orleans. August the 29th, 2006, is declared American Hurricane Awareness Day. I'd say they were a year late on that one. Maybe if they'd made August the 28th, 2005, Hurricane Awareness Day, then things wouldn't have turned out quite so badly. I'm pretty sure the people of New Orleans are already fairly hurricane aware by now. Having a Hurricane Awareness Day is a bit like rubbing it in their faces. Are you aware of hurricanes? Yes, a little bit too aware now, thanks. I live in this bit of water. Now it's time to welcome someone without whom this show would be slightly different. Possibly a little bit better. Give a warm welcome to TV's Emma Kennedy.
Hello, Richard. It's quite nice to be here.
So, last series you fronted the unpopular birth, deaths and marriages section of the show. Is there more of that in the pipeline?
No, Richard. I have moved on. Each week I'll be looking at something that happened for the first time this week in history in a new segment that I like to call TV's Emma Kennedy's Firsts for Knowledge.
TV's Emma Kennedy's First for Knowledge.
Is that meant to be a pun?
Yes, it is a pun. A good pun. Implying that I, TV's Emma Kennedy, commemorate things that were a first for knowledge, whilst at the same time, I, TV's Emma Kennedy, thirst for knowledge.
It doesn't quite work though, does it? Because it's Emma Kennedy's firsts for knowledge. The possessive apostrophe spoils the first.
Yeah, yeah, don't start with this again, Herring. I'm only doing this show as a favour to you because you helped me on my way up, so now I'm helping you on your way down. I don't need this. I'm on TV. You may have seen me on Channel 5 Suburban Shootout.
No, no one has.
A show so popular that it's actually being shown in Iceland, yes. Look impressed, because it is impressive.
You mawkish harridan.
I'm not mawkish! So, this week, on TV's Emma Kennedy's Firsts for Knowledge, the first ever marathon. On September the 2nd, 490 BC, Pheidippides accidentally invented the mammoth endurance race when he ran 26 miles from the Battle of Marathon to Athens without even stopping to do a toilet in full view of everyone on the way. On arrival, he immediately dropped dead.
Yeah, it's an incredible feat. He not only ran the first marathon, he set a personal best and set the world record for the event. Mm.
Imagine the reception he must have got.
I have some news. I have run 26 miles to tell you.
What is it?
We won! We, the Greeks, won the Battle of Marathon.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Good.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. All the exertion I think I'm going to die.
Ooh. Don't worry, Pheidippides. We will ensure your courageous act is never forgotten. We will turn your labour into a sporting event. And in honour of you, Pheidippides, we will call it the Marathon.
Hold on, you'll call it what now?
Yes, the Marathon, after the battle you ran from.
Well, yeah, that's all very well, but it wasn't the Battle of Marathon who ran all the way without stopping and then died, was it? It was me, Pheidippides, so maybe you should call the race the Pheidippides.
Nah, that's a bit of a stupid name. Marathon's better.
So that's all you're going to do to commemorate this sacrifice?
No, don't be silly. We'll name a chocolate bar after the battle as well.
For a bit.
And then we'll call it something else.
Pheidippides?
Yeah.
No, definitely not Pheidippides.
Why do you have to keep bringing this all back to you?
So I ran the race for nothing? I've given my life for no reason.
No, mate, don't be stupid. Every year from now on, we'll commemorate your life by holding a marathon race.
With the world's finest and strongest athletes taking part.
Yeah, definitely them, plus a load of ordinary people who've never really done athletics in their life, who are dressed up as like rhinoceroses and deep-sea divers and fairies. Yeah.
No, just the top athletes who all die at the end because it's so hard, and it's called the Pheidippides Challenge.
Well, why should it be named after you?
Because I did it first. I ran all this way to tell you the news.
Well, no one asked you to, mate.
Yeah, and why did you feel the need to run? Why didn't you just ride here on a horse? Like the bloke who brought us news of the victory 2 hours ago, did you?
Who did that?
Him over there. Here, what's your name, mate?
Snickers. Ian Snickers.
Thanks for that, Emma. A nice, funny skit about a man's death there. Yeah, thank you. Very tasteful, you mawkish farrago.
I am not mawkish!
You are the Duchess of Mork. You're the Mork spinster. Like, York Minster. You know, there are certain historical events that make such an impact on us that we remember where we were and what we were doing when we heard the news. Mostly because we were generally watching the news on TV. But each week here on Twitutin, we're going to celebrate one of those moments in a section of the show I like to call, do you remember where you were when X happened, where X is the event that we are remembering this week?
Do you remember where you were when X happened? Where X is the event that we're remembering this week?
And it's back to the 27th of August, 1987. I think we all remember where we were when we heard the news that Robert McLennan had replaced Dr. David Owen as leader of the SDP. So let's see what memories of that amazing historical event our audience have. What about you? So what were you up to when you heard the news?
I think I was probably drunk at the time.
Well, is that just because you're drunk all the time? Is that so you could... Or do you know specifically? It was about 3 o'clock on the 27th of August, 1987. Would you have been drunk?
Almost certainly, yeah.
How about you, sir? Do you remember where you were on the...
No, I'm afraid I don't. Sorry.
Hands up, anyone who remembers where they were when they... That's quite a poor start to the do you remember where you were when X happened, where X is the event that we're remembering this week feature. It's actually a bit embarrassing for me that we've all forgotten about that, because this week's special surprise guest is former leader of the SDP, Robert McLennan.
Hi there, Robert. Sorry about this. I really thought it'd be one of those moments that everyone remembered.
Oh, don't worry, Rich. Fame is a coquettish whore. One day you're up there, your name's on everyone's lips, all the girls are after you, the next forgotten. Yeah, you must know what it's like, Rich. Apart from the girls bit, you know.
Don't turn on me, McLennan. It's not my fault no one remembers you.
Oh, I will be remembered, Herring. Believe you me, the name of Robert McLennan will echo down the corridors of history.
Yeah, it will, but it will be preceded by the words, who the hell was? But anyway, let's try and salvage something from this. I suppose you at least must remember what you were doing on the 27th of August, 1987, when you heard the news that you were the new leader of the SDP.
No, it's not leaping to mind, I have to say.
Thank you, Robert McLennan. There will be another Do You Remember Where You Were When X Happened, Where X is the event that we're remembering this week, next week. Well, that passed the time. In more somber news, Princess Diana died this week in 1997. I think we all remember where we were when we heard that news. Damn, that would have been a much better one. I wish I'd thought of that before. I certainly remember where I was. I was driving a white Fiat through Paris. The roads were terrible that day. I was very nearly in an accident myself. But was Diana's crash an accident? Not according to our next guest. Please welcome back conspiracy theorist Brian O'Green.
Greetings, Earthlings.
Brian, I see you're wearing a black armband. Did the death of Princess Diana affect you that badly?
No, Richard. I am in mourning because the 1st September 1981 saw the death of Albert Speer, Hitler's favourite architect.
You know you can only come on this show if you agree not to talk about the Nazis. The death of Albert Speer is not something one should mourn.
Because he was remorseful about his part in the Nazi regime?
No, Brian, because he was a fascist and we don't mourn fascists.
You're the one who said Mussolini was good, didn't he, Christian?
Yes.
That comment has been taken out of context. I only said that to avoid him punishing me in hell. I think he was bad, unless he's listening. Do they get Radio 2 in hell?
I think it's on a constant loop.
Those poor souls. Anyway... What is your theory about the death of Princess Diana? Presumably some convoluted stream of consciousness involving the Priory of Sion, Shergar and Christopher Biggins as usual.
No, Richard. My conspiracy theory is simply this. Princess Diana of the Wales was whacked by MI6 under orders from none other than Prince Philip.
That's it?
Pure and simple.
I have heard this idea before, but it does kind of presuppose that Prince Philip... has the power to make such an order. Hello, MI6, how can we help you?
Yes, hello there. I want you to assassinate Lady Diana.
I beg your pardon?
I said I want Lady Diana assassinated. Immediately. Maybe in a car crash or something.
Sorry, who is this?
It's me, Prince Philip. Now go about my evil bidding.
Hold on. Prince Philip, the one everyone thought was gay, but who got married anyway?
No. Prince Philip, the husband of the Queen. I'm ordering you to kill Lady Diana.
Ooh, you're ordering me, are you? What, you, the husband of a woman who is essentially a figurehead with no political powers at all? You want us to commit murder for you?
Yes.
Hey, everyone, you won't believe this. That bloke who made the comment about turning slitty-eyed in China is telling us what to do.
It was funny, I have to admit. But no, come on. No, you have to do what I say. I am the Duke of Edinburgh.
Ooh, the Duke of Edinburgh? Oh, scary. We better do what he says or we might not get our bronze award for camping.
How dare you mock me? I can have you killed, you know.
Oh, yeah, mate? By who exactly?
By... Bah! You will rue the day you crossed me.
Sod off, Baldy. It isn't going to happen, O'Green. Prince Philip just doesn't have the power, as this, I think, will demonstrate.
Hello, Buckingham Palace servants' quarters.
Yeah, yes, yes. My room is very messy. Send someone up immediately.
Sorry, who is this?
It's Prince Philip.
Prince what now?
Philip.
Oh, what, the first husband of Princess Anne?
No, no, Prince Philip, the husband of the Queen.
Oh, the bloke who told a 12-year-old boy who wanted to be an astronaut that he was too fat. You can't order me about.
Yes, I can. I'm Baron Greenwich.
What, from Danger Mouse? Actually, that's quite impressive.
No, no, Greenwich. Greenwich.
Tidy your own room up, Greco.
Bah!
Be gone, O'Brien. This is naught but a conspiracy of dunces.
Perhaps, Richard, but if anything happens to me this week, then you know who to blame.
Yes, it will be me. I will have killed you. After all that, I feel like listening to some music, so let's hear from Christian Riley and the Borgias.
Thank you. Thank you. And it has been a busy week for Princess Diana. This is the week she died and the week that she got divorced. Not in that order. So Monday was the 10th anniversary of the divorce, and I just want to cash in. I mean, heal the nation's pain.
Goodbye, royal couple. You couldn't live in a bubble. Like two people trapped in a submarine with a broken pressure seal. I know your hearts are bleeding, but one day you'll stop weeping. The way a freshly squeezed pimple will one day congeal. A royal marriage is like trying to write a really potent simile. People think it's easy, but they've never had a go. Our language is so rich, and your story's evocative, but I can't seem to write it down. You know, I imagine it's like trying to express your frustration in a row at Buckingham Palace, but knowing the crockery is too expensive to throw around. Yeah, your marriage was like trying to write for a lunchtime Radio 2 audience. It was never gonna be easy, and it's compounded by a slight age gap. Happy marriage is like getting away with a clumsy rewrite of a song that was written about Marilyn Monroe originally. For some reason it's easy for a rich gay man to do.
On the 27th of August 1910, Mother Teresa was born. Though here's a fact I didn't know before, this is true. Her name wasn't Teresa at all. She was christened with the unlikely name of Agnes Gonska Bajonska.
No, it's pronounced Agnes Gonja Boyagiu, actually.
All right, Moira Stewart, because that's much less stupid, isn't it?
Say it right or not at all.
I will say it how it is spelt. Agnes Gonka Bajonka. Don't put the X's in there if you don't want them said, Albania. Wikipedia will tell you she chose the name Teresa as a novice sister in Darjeeling, but it's time for someone to edit Wikipedia with the truth, because here's what really happened.
That was then, this is now.
What really happened?
To Catholics worldwide, Mother Teresa of Calcutta is known as Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And yet not only was she not born in India at all, her real name is quite, quite different. It all started in the declining Ottoman Empire in 1910.
That's it, darling. One more push.
Oh, one more push, you!
I can see her legs. Everything's fine, don't worry. And her arms. She looks healthy and normal. Love. And here's her head. Oh.
What is it? Is something wrong?
No, she's lovely. It's just her face. It's all wrinkled and leathery. Like some kind of goblin.
Well, let's see. Oh, my. I suppose all babies look a bit goblin-y when they're born, Doctor.
No, they don't. No, no. You have what we in the medical profession call a freakish wrinkled gonk baby. No one would blame you if you abandoned her on a hillside.
Oh, don't be horrid. She's our baby. To us, she's beautiful, isn't she, dear?
Well, the idea of beauty is so subjective. I mean, yes, yes.
We'll call her Teresa. Mother Teresa.
We can't call her Mother Teresa, darling. She's a baby. You're the mother. It'll be confusing. She'll get teased at school.
We're calling her Mother Teresa of Calcutta.
But we live in Skopje.
Skopje.
I'll pronounce it how it's spelled.
I don't care. Her name is Mother Teresa of Calcutta, and that's final. I squeezed her out of my clacker, and I get to say what she's called.
You're emotional after giving birth to a human gonk, love. Let's call her Agnes Gonker Bajonker.
Agnes Gonja Boyagio.
Shut up, this is my show. We're pronouncing Agnes Gonker Bajonker. We're calling her that so she doesn't look stupid.
What? You don't think giving a gonk-like baby the middle name of Gonker might be a mistake? Let's call her Mother Teresa of Calcutta.
No! Never mention that name again.
Mother Teresa's mother, under threat from Mother Teresa's father, kept the fact that Mother Teresa was called Mother Teresa secret from Little Mother Teresa, whose weird name and weird face provided fuel for schoolyard bullies.
Agnes Gonker Bajonker! Agnes Gonker Bajonker!
You look like a gonk, and gonk is your middle name, effectively.
Oh, father!
Let me tell you a story, my child, about an ugly duckling who grew up to be a beautiful swan. Once upon a time... Oh, actually, I've pretty much told you the story in the introduction.
So, you're saying that it doesn't matter how you look on the outside, it's what's inside that matters?
No, I'm saying it does matter how you look on the outside, but with a bit of luck, when you get older, you'll stop being ugly and people will like you.
Oh!
But her father was wrong. Agnes Gonker Bajonker never turned into a swan. She just turned more into a wrinkled gonk than ever.
Curse you, God, for giving me this gonk face and my stupid gonk name. I turn against you and all your work and will devote my life to evil.
So, Agnes Gonker Bajonker started doing evil works, such as kicking kittens, poisoning wells, and coveting her neighbour's ox.
Look at that ox. I wish I had an ox.
But on his deathbed, Mother Teresa's father revealed the truth.
You know, Agnes Gonker Bajonker, your mother never wanted you to be called Agnes Gonker Bajonker. She wanted you to be called Mother Teresa of Calcutta.
Even though I was a baby?
Yes.
Who was born in Skopje?
Skopje, yes.
She was right. Mother Teresa of Calcutta is a much better name for me. A name like that would draw attention away from my wrinkly gonk face and confuse people and make them see the real me. Having a name like that makes me want to go to India and help poor people and befriend doomed princesses. This is the best day of my life.
Oh, I die.
Yes, that is sad. But more importantly, I have learned it's not what you look like that's important. It's what you're called that counts.
And that's what really happened. That was then,
this is now. What really happened?
So, Lush, that's pretty much the end of the show. It's been pretty good, hasn't it, Christian?
Yeah, same old, same old.
Look, don't blame me. Blame the historical figures. I can only work with what I'm given.
They get me through. Come on now.
What's going on down there? Security, security.
Sorry, pal. Members of the public are not allowed on stage.
I'm not a member of the public. I'm Prince Philip.
What? The one whose real dad is that bloke off I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here?
No, Prince Philip.
patron of the WWF.
The World Wrestling Federation?
No, the World... Yes, the wrestling thing. Yes, yes, yes. So, yes, you better get out of my way.
I can't compete with that. Sorry, yes. Rich. Go on up, mate.
I'll get the Hulk
nice
on you.
Nice one, security. Yeah,
thank you, yes.
Hi there, Prince Philip. How can I help you?
How can you help me? Well, I've been listening to the show at home, and I can't tell you how offended I am by your insensitive jibes about me. But I'm bloody Duke of the Realm.
That's a bit rich, isn't it? You criticising anyone for insensitivity. You're the man who told a blind woman that they now have eating dogs for the anorexic.
It was one of my better ones, yes, yes, yes. No, but the things you said about me...
Look, pal, we were defending you using satire against the ridiculous notion that you might have ordered Princess Di's murder.
Ah, yes, ridiculous. Even so, I found your comment derogatory and I demand an apology.
You, Prince Philip, are demanding that?
Yes, I am.
Oh, yeah, or what?
You don't want to mess with me, Herring.
What are you going to do, rescind my World Wildlife Federation membership card?
Well, I'd like to, but really, I'm just a figurehead.
Get out of it, Edinburgh.
You've just made yourself a very powerful enemy, my friend.
You are the second most powerful enemy I have, Edinburgh, after Robert McLennan, the ex-leader of the SDP.
Don't you know him? He's a lovely man. You know, I remember where I was when I heard the news about him becoming leader of the SDP.
I'm sorry, there simply isn't time. You should have been here earlier. The show is over. That's all from us this week. We'll be back next week when what I'm saying now will already be history. Spooky. Good afternoon.
That was This Is Now. It was performed and written by Richard Herring, Danny Robbins, Dan Tetzel and me, TV's Emma Kennedy. The musical bits were all by Christian Riley and the Borgias, Damien Caldwell, Martin Kane and Charlie Round Turner. And it was produced by Queen Liz Anstey the Great. It was a Cellador production for BBC Radio 2.